But this evening, I would like to talk to us for a few moments about elders. Elders. In the New Testament church, we read about elders in the Bible. That is, the church of the Bible had what was called elders. Matter of fact, in Acts 14 and verse 23, we learned that elders were appointed in every congregation. In Titus chapter 1, verse 5, Paul commanded Titus to appoint elders in every city. And that would be, of course, every city that had a faithful church. Their appointments are based upon the qualifications found in Titus chapter 1, verses 5 to 9. Also in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verses 1 to 7. And do us good to give an in-depth study from time to time of those qualifications. Elders were and are appointed in a plurality within a local congregation. There can never be only one elder overseeing a church at any given time. We've discussed this briefly already. The passage we mentioned, Acts 14, 23 and Titus 1, 5. Philippians 1, 1 is another passage. There are others that whenever a church is mentioned and the elders are spoken of, it's always elders in the plural. We never read about one elder overseeing a congregation, one elder overseeing a local church. It's always a plurality. And so therefore, since we are to abide in the doctrine of Christ, 2 John 9, in order to abide in the doctrine of Christ, whenever we appoint elders, it must be elders in the plural, not elder in the singular. Elders are to provide the oversight and leadership only over the church where they are members. Again, there in Acts chapter 20, when Paul is speaking to those elders, also in 1 Peter 5, 2, where he tells those elders to shepherd the flock of God, which is among you. If we had elders here, our elders would have no jurisdiction, and we'll just use those terms since we're familiar with what that means. Our elders would have no jurisdiction in any other congregation of the Lord. They are to watch over the flock which is among them. That would be this flock right here. They don't decide and make decisions in relation to the functions of the a congregation down the street here or over in Australia or wherever. Elders are to oversee the flock which is among them. As we go to the Word of God, we find that elders are sometimes referred to as bishops. 1 Timothy 3:1. Bishops. That is, overseers. Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Or pastors, Ephesians 4, verses 11 and 12. And of course, elders in 1 Timothy 5 and verse 17. We've discussed this before. That word pastor comes from the Greek word poimen, which means to shepherd or to feed. Very often, I'm referred to as a pastor. By those who are out in the community, they don't understand what the Bible teaches, and they understand that I'm the preacher, and I'm a preacher, and so they refer to me as Pastor Pickford. I'm not a pastor. I am a preacher. I do not meet the qualifications of a pastor. Because in the Bible, a pastor, an elder, a bishop, an overseer, a shepherd, all of these are one and the same group of men. These are just descriptive titles of the office that they function in. I'm not a pastor. I'm not a reverend. And so we need to understand the proper use of biblical terms. And none of these terms, as I've said, all these terms are descriptive of the work that they do within the office. None of them are meant to be worn as fancy titles to be puffed up about. Now, I'm not saying this because it's wrong to call them these things. It certainly isn't. If someone is an elder, that's what they are. We can list in our bulletin elders, so-and-so, so-and-so, so-and-so. That's not giving them a fancy title for them to be puffed up and proud about because the Lord condemned that in Matthew 23. It's just simply a descriptive term of designation to show what these men are and the work that they do in this local church. Now, this evening, we want to go to the Word of God, and we want to discuss a little bit about elders from the Bible. And this lesson certainly is not exhaustive, but hopefully it will pique our interest enough that we'll go home and take our Bibles and do a more detailed study about elders, New Testament elders. And as we go to the Bible, we find that in the first place, elders are chosen to be leaders. Now, as we have already mentioned, elders are chosen based upon the qualifications given in 1 Timothy chapter 3, 1-7, and also over in Titus 1, verses 5-9. But Paul says in 1 Timothy 3, in verse 1, "This is a faithful saying, if a man desires the position of a bishop," and that's the great word episcopal, it's also translated the same word overseer in some places. So when you see the word bishop, think of the word overseer. When you see the word overseer, think of the word bishop. It just all means the same thing. It comes from the same Greek word. "If a man desires the position of a bishop, he desires a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, able to teach, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not covetous. One who rules his own house well, having his children in submission with all reverence. For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? Not a novice," that is a new convert, "lest being puffed up with pride, he fall into the same condemnation as the devil. Moreover, he must have a good testimony among those who are outside, lest he fall into reproach in the snare of the devil." Now, a simple reading of these qualifications here really gives us a pretty good idea of what an elder must be in order to have, or to, in order to serve as an elder in the Lord's church, or the qualifications he must possess. Now, we can go and do a detailed study of each of these words and maybe answer some tough questions that some people have arrived when necessary, but just a reading of it gives us a pretty general idea that these men are chosen to be leaders. Matter of fact, within that word bishop, overseer, is implied the concept of leadership. They're overseeing. They are leading. And so these men are someone who are to be leaders. And let me hasten to say this, that we need to encourage young people to set goals in their life that would cause them to desire to someday be an elder in the Lord's church. We don't need to wait until, well, you know, we need elders. Now let's look at the qualifications and then let's try to find some men who come close to them or meet them or whatever. I think it's good to teach our young people to start at a young age and to aspire to try to pattern their lives in such a way so as to try to someday meet the qualifications that are given here for those who are elders. And I believe that if we would do that more often, we would find more churches with more faithful elders and much better leadership. Overseer. And so these people are chosen to be leaders, and they lead in many capacities. For example, they lead in refuting error. If a man does not have the ability, but not only the ability, but the courage to stand up to someone who tries to bring error in among the flock, that man is not qualified to be an elder. Perhaps he has the knowledge. Maybe he even has the ability or the capability, but he lacks the courage to do so. He's not qualified to be an elder. In Titus 1 verse 9, it says, "Holding fast," that this is the, again, Paul's recount of the qualifications of the elders in Titus. And in verse 9 of Titus 1, he says, "Holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may both be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convict those who contradict." Now, your Bible may say the gainsayers. That simply means those who contradict. Contradict what? Contradict the truth, the faithful word, here in verse 9, the first phrase. If a man is capable of standing up, he's knowledgeable enough to do so, he's courageous enough to do so, to stand up and to rebuke those who try to teach things that contradict the doctrine of Christ, he possesses the qualification of being an elder, because the church needs men who are willing to lead in that role. Men who are willing to stand up and refute error when it tries to seep into the Lord's church. There are so many churches of Christ out there today who have gone astray by and by over the years because no one had the courage to stand up and say, wait a minute, let's question this. Let's not just accept whatever suggestion or recommendation somebody might bring up. Let's put it to the test. Let's see if we have biblical authority for this thing. What about this teaching? Don't let a man get up in Bible class and just teach whatever he wants, no matter how knowledgeable or capable he may be. Maybe he teaches error. If he does, question that. Don't just let him teach it and let it go uncontradicted. We need to stand up for the truth. And men need to have courage to do that because elders are to lead. They're chosen to be leaders. They lead in refuting error. They lead in helping in the decision-making process. And I say this, they lead in helping in the decision-making process. I sat down with some elders a few years ago, and they had just been appointed by someone else, not by me. I had just come along. And they asked me if I had any suggestions for elders and so forth, and I did have some based upon my studies. And one of the suggestions that I made to them, and of course I referred to 1 Timothy 5:3, when Peter tells the elders there not to be lords over them, but to be leaders. And so my suggestion to them was, don't discard the concept of a men's business meeting. Still get the men together every month or however often. And listen to the men and let them talk it out. Let them give their input and so forth. And then make your decisions based upon that. I'm not saying let my majority rule. I think in most cases the majority should rule. When it comes to things not of faith, when it comes to the Word of God rules. So there's never a hardcore rule. You know, majority always rules. That's very dangerous. Because sometimes the majority may go against the Word of God. And so we need to be careful. When it comes to the final decision and whatever the work of the church is, it comes down to the elders. The elders make those decisions, but not without listening to the flock. They're supposed to be leaders of the flock, not lords over the flock. Not disregarding their intelligence, disregarding their wisdom, disregarding their thoughts or their feelings, just getting behind closed doors and going into secret service and not telling anybody anything. And then the next Sunday morning, they're announcing what all they've done and what we're going to do and so forth. And nobody, it's the first everybody's heard of. That's not leadership, that's lordship. Elders are to be leaders over the flock, not lords over the flock. I've known of elders who would send letters out to people and sign from the church and send those letters out to people. Now they signed my name on that letter. I never saw the letter. Never knew it was being drafted. Didn't know what it was saying, but there's my name signed to it from the church. Elders don't have that right. That's lording it over. That's not leading. That's putting words in my mouth that I never said. And so you see, it's very important that elders be leaders, not lords. They need to listen to the needs of the congregation. They need to have a good relationship with all the members. Know them. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 2 says, elders ought to be lovers of men. That is, they ought to be hospitable. Elders ought to be always having different members in their home and going into the members' homes and establishing a good relationship and knowing them and listening to them. That helps them to be the kind of leaders that they ought to be and to make the kind of decisions that they ought to make in leading the flock of God without lording over the flock of God. Elders lead with decisions. They lead by example. You see, elders are there kind of like the preacher. Elders have the spotlight on them. Their wives have the spotlight on them. Their children have the spotlight on them. That's a lot of pressure. And it calls for elders to really lead by a proper example. Again in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 3. Peter writing here to elders again says, not as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And so they lead by example. Remember when Paul said to the Philippians, whatever you see and hear in me, these do. Paul was a great example to other Christians. Well, this is the way elders are to the flock. And they need to understand and recognize that great responsibility. And as far as the relationship of the congregation to the elders, you know, sometimes elders go astray and they make bad decisions, but sometimes the members of the church are just looking for the elder to slip up and make a mistake. They're just looking so they can criticize the elder. That's not the proper attitude. That's not the proper way at all. The congregation is to respect the leadership of the elders. That's a command. In the book of Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17, matter of fact, we could look not only at verse 17, but I believe if we look at verse 7, we have something about this. In verse 7 it says of Hebrews 13, "Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct." That's those who rule over. That's the elders. Couldn't be anybody else. In verse 17, "Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable to you." You know, if you've been backsliding, or you're caught up in sin, and all of a sudden you get a phone call from the elder, the elders want to talk to you, and they sit down and they kind of rebuke you lovingly for the sin you're in or for backsliding. And then when you leave and get in your car to go home, you're thinking, well, who do they think they are? Who are they to tell me? I know old brother so-and-so and something he did years ago. He's not Mr. Perfect. Is that the right attitude? You know, we don't take rebukes well. Sometimes when someone points out something in our lives that needs to be corrected, our initial response is anger. And that's dangerous. We need to learn how to take rebuke. We need to learn how to take criticism. And we need to understand that when elders do that to us, or anybody else for that matter, they're doing so because they're watching out for our souls. They're trying to correct our wrongs because they don't want us to be lost eternally. They're not doing it to be mean or spiteful. They're doing it because they love us. And they're trying to, remember, they're leaders. They're trying to help lead us into the gates of eternal glory. That's what they're there for. And we should respect that. Again, another passage similar to this one in Hebrews, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verses 12 and 13, the Apostle Paul says there, "And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you," recognize them, "and esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves." There's going to be differences of opinion, but we must respect the elders' decisions so long as they're scriptural. Sometimes the elders are making a decision and maybe I think, well, you know, that would have been better if they'd have done it this way, or if they'd have done it this way. Now, if they're good elders, they would have already asked my opinion. I would have given it to them, but they decided to do it another way. That's fine. I shouldn't quibble about that. I shouldn't complain about that. They were courteous to me. They didn't lord it over me. They asked me what their thoughts was. But through their wisdom, they decided that this other way was better. Well, let me look at the other way. Okay, their way, it wasn't really what I wanted. But let me ask this question. Is their way unscriptural? If I look at it and say, well, no, it's unscriptural, I just don't like it. What if it's scriptural and I just don't like it, I need to keep my mouth shut. Don't quarrel. Don't stir up trouble. Don't give them a hard time. Submit to them and obey them. On the other hand, and we'll talk about this in our next point a little bit more, if it is unscriptural, now we have to pursue a different path. We don't follow anybody into error, regardless of who it was. The Apostle Paul didn't even expect people to follow him into error. 1 Corinthians 11:1. "Be ye imitators of me as I imitate Christ," or "Be ye followers of me as I also am a follower of Christ." But they lead by example. And so as we go to the Bible, according to the Bible, elders are to, or elders are rather chosen to be leaders. Number two, not only are elders chosen to be leaders, but elders are charged to be heeders. This is so important. That is such an essential point. Elders are given authority to lead. Yes, they're given authority to rule. That's what the word the Bible uses. in more than one place. Hebrews 13, 7 and 17, 1 Thessalonians 5, we were there a moment ago, those who rule over you. Elders are given authority to lead. They are given authority to rule the congregation. But authority means responsibility. And elders are to be responsible to heeding the head of the church, which is Christ. Elders are not the heads. Christ is the head. Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. Paul pictures Christ as sitting at the right hand of God. Christ as being given authority over all things to the church, which is his body. Christ is the head of the church. He is the source of authority. His word is the manual by which we go to. Remember in Titus chapter 1 and verse 9, we read a moment ago, elders are to hold fast the faithful word as they have been taught. Hold fast the faithful word. Elders never have the authority to go outside or to act outside the realm of the doctrine of Christ. If they do so, they have went into error. We have vigilante judges in our nation. They rule from the bench, as we said, or rather, they legislate from the bench. Now, to legislate means to write law or create law. The judges in our court system are not there to create law. That's not what they were appointed for. They are there to see to it that the law that has been created is enforced and respected. And there's been a lot of problems in the court system today and in our society because of these vigilante judges who legislate from the bench. We recognize that, those of us who have even little knowledge of what's going on around us. Elders are there to enforce the law of Christ. They are not legislators. Elders do not have the right or the authority to make up their own laws or to act contrary to the law that God has given us, no matter how good of an idea they may think it is. They are charged to be heeders, to hold forth the faithful word, not their word, but Christ's word. Look with me at Acts chapter 20, verses 28 to 30. We learn a great deal about elders and the eldership from Acts chapter 20. In this context, as you know, Paul is traveling and he's trying to get to Jerusalem. And he sailed right by Ephesus and landed a little bit down at Miletus. And then he sent for the elders of the church at Ephesus to come and to meet with him. And so in this context here in Acts chapter 20, verse 17 to 38, the Apostle Paul is meeting with these elders from Ephesus. And we learn a great deal about elders here. And so in Acts chapter 20, verse 28 to 30, Paul says to these elders, therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves. Now he's already said people will come in among the flock, teaching error. But then he turns the spotlight on them and says, from among yourselves, that is from among you elders. From among the eldership, men will rise up speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch. And remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. What? Be vigilant. Take heed. You know, there is to be respect for the elders. But if any elder should begin to teach or practice error, he is not to be heeded. That's where it stops. And that's where we start trying to follow the proper biblical pattern and trying to deal with elders who have gone off into error. In Acts chapter 5 and verse 29, remember when the apostles were arrested for the second time for preaching the word of God? And this time they said, did we not command you not to speak in this name anymore? And in verse 29, Peter said, we ought to obey God rather than men. But you can turn to Romans 13. And other passages and read about how we're commanded to submit ourselves to the government. That's right. We are commanded to submit ourselves to God until the government commands us to disobey God. And that's where it stops. We ought to obey God rather than men. Yes, there are passages that says we ought to submit to the authority of the elders. But when the elders try to lead us astray, we ought to obey God rather than men. Elders are just men. And so it's very important that elders take very seriously the following and enforcing of the doctrine of Christ rather than their own opinions or their own think-sos. There is to be, however, respect for the elders to heed the word of God. You know, this passage in Acts 20 and verses 28 to 30, we looked at a moment ago, where Paul said, men will rise up from yourselves speaking perverse things and drawing away disciples after themselves. I mentioned this last week. That's exactly what happened as we study history, the history of the church. Somewhere along the line, this church began to have a man appointed over the other elders. He was one of the elders, and then he was appointed over the other elders and was called the presiding elder. Then all the presiding elders got together from the different churches and met and formed a synod and appointed a leader over them and called him the country bishop. And then all the country bishops got together and formed a synod and appointed a leader over them and called him the city bishop. And then all the city bishops got together and formed a synod and appointed a leader over him and called them the big city bishops. And by that time, there were five big city bishops. And then one of the big city bishops in 588 A.D., who was John the Faster of Constantinople, declared himself to be the first universal bishop, or that is, the first pope. Of course, Gregory I of Rome opposed that and actually appealed to the Caesar of Rome, who then rebuked John the Faster. And then in 606 A.D., The Emperor of Rome appointed Boniface III to be the first official pope, universal bishop, over the Catholic Church. All that was the result of some congregation somewhere deciding that we need a presiding elder. We need one elder ruling over the others. That seems harmless enough. He called over the other churches, and you see where it led to? Paul prophesied that in Acts 20, didn't he? He said, from among yourselves, from among the elders, men will do this. And so you see what happens when elders fail to heed the doctrine of Christ? You end up with a worldwide organization called the Catholic Church that has led millions into error over the years. Oh, it's important that elders recognize that they are charged to be heeders, to heed the word of God. So according to the Bible, elders are charged or chosen to be leaders. They're charged to be heeders. And then finally, number three, they are challenged to be feeders. When we come down here to the building, the elders are not challenged to have potluck sitting out in the foyer. That's not what we're talking about. That's not their responsibility. But God has placed upon the elders the challenge of feeding the flock. Remember that Greek word poimen used in Acts chapter 20, also used in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 to 4? That's the Greek word which is translated pastor or shepherd. It means literally to feed. And so that's one of the descriptive terms of the elder, that he is to feed the flock. Not with corn and cornbread, but with the word of God. They are to feed the flock spiritually, spiritually feeding them. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 2. I don't know what I did there, but there they all are. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 2. Paul again, writing to Timothy here, says, a bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate and sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, able to teach. Have you ever been involved in getting together the curriculum and organizing and getting the material and so forth of what the church is going to be studying over the next 3 years or whatever? If you've never been involved in that, you have really missed out. I tell you what, it is a demanding responsibility. There is nothing easy about it. Choosing the class books, getting everything organized, getting everything right. What are the needs of the congregation? What do some of the people in the congregation want to study? All these decisions, when they're elders in the church, fall upon the elders. And that's a heavy responsibility. And it is a great challenge. But they're challenged to do that. They're challenged to be feeders of the flock. Remember there in Ephesians 4, and we've approached this passage several times over the last few weeks. But in Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 11 to 16, all those that God set up in the church in order to feed them so that they might not be children tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, but that they may be mature and understand the truth. Well, one of the groups of men set up to do that, we're told, in verse 11, he himself said, come to be apostles. They've all died. Some prophets, spiritual gifts to see. Some evangelists. We're still around, some of us. And some pastors. There you go. The feeders. The elders. But that's a demanding job. Again, over in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 2, Peter writing to the elders there said, shepherd, that is poimen, or pastor, or feed the flock of God, which is among thee. Feed them with the word of God. Again in Acts 20, verse 28, where Paul told those Ephesian elders to shepherd the flock of God among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Feed them. The emphasis is there over and over and over again. And that feeding is done by the organizing of all this teaching material, by the actual teaching themselves. Elders are to be able to teach, apt to teach. The types of Bible classes, the topics to be chosen that they deem suitable that would feed the flock and get the flock growing and keep the flock strong spiritually. That's a very demanding and challenging task. But they must not neglect that. Sometimes when it comes to the local preacher, one of the elders will choose to serve in that capacity. I've known many churches that do this. I know some churches where the elders take turns to fulfill the capacity of the local evangelist. That's fine too. That's the way they have decided to feed the flock. Over in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 17 and 18, and talking about the elders, Timothy said, let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. That is, those who give their full time to preaching and teaching the word, like an evangelist would do. For the scripture says, you shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain, and the labor is worthy of his hire, and he should be paid, just like the evangelist is. Sometimes the elders choose to do that, and one of the elders is appointed the evangelist over that congregation, and so he serves in a dual capacity, both evangelist and elder. And Paul teaches here, when that happens, he needs to be paid for that. Just like you would pay the evangelist. Very often than not, the elder employs a man. We say employs, really the man's an employee of the Lord. But he chooses a man to come in and to fulfill the capacity of an evangelist, that is, a minister, a preacher, as taught in the Word of God. And then he is paid for teaching or feeding under the direction of the elders. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 14, if anyone preached the gospel, he should live of the gospel. In other words, that's how he makes his living. I've known people who have said, well, preachers ought to go out and get a real job like other people and make a living. He's making a living if he's preaching the gospel. 1 Corinthians 9, 14, Paul said it, if anyone preaches the gospel, he should live of the gospel. That's how he makes his living. Ephesians chapter 4, 11, again, evangelist was one of those who are set up in the church to teach the church. In 2 Corinthians 11, 8, Paul said, I robbed other churches. He was paid by other churches to preach the gospel at Corinth. But it's important that elders stand up and meet this great challenge of feeding the flock of God. Of course, as I've said, many other things we can say about the elders. I pray again that this lesson will prompt us to go home and do a more detailed study about the elders. Now, I've mentioned this briefly before. We don't have elders here because you don't go appointing elders unless they meet those qualifications. Remember, we read them in 1 Timothy 3 at the beginning of the lesson. They're also there in Titus 1, 5 to 9. I've known churches who have compromised. Said, well, we really need to have elders, so I know this guy don't meet all the qualifications, but we're going to appoint him. He's close enough. Not close enough. If you read closely those qualifications, you'll see that the bishop must be this and he must be that. These are musts, not suggestions. God demands that the man meet each of these qualifications before he is appointed as an elder over the Lord's church. There's a reason for that. But the most important reason is God said it. And we should do it God's way. A church that doesn't have elders is a scriptural church. For example, in Acts 14, when they went to the different churches appointing elders, what about before they got to that church? Was it a church? Yes, it was a church. The Bible said it was, didn't it? They went to the churches and appointed elders. So they were churches before their elders were appointed. They were not fully organized as God would like them to be, but they were still scriptural churches. The Bible called them churches. But we should always, any local congregation, be striving for that. Men should always be striving to try to desire to someday be an elder and to live their lives in such a way that they would someday meet the qualifications of being an elder. But we have learned from the Bible, elders are chosen to be leaders. They need to lead the flock, not lord over the flock, but to lovingly lead the flock. Elders are charged to be heeders. Remember, elders are just like judges. They enforce the law that's already been written down. They don't make it up as they go along. And finally, elders are challenged to be feeders. They must feed the flock the spiritual word of God so that the flock may grow and not be children tossed to and fro, that they may never be led away into the error that is so prevalent in the religious world today. Let's pray.